It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockenspeth and Greg Pickle, we're back here. Looking now at the 2018 season, we did a discussion on five-star recruiting and Penn State making a bid for those guys. And I think the 2020 class, we came away saying keep an eye on Penn State landing some impact players there. There could still be some surprises in 19 as well. We focused on the current team now, and we had the season preview series lined up for a while, Greg, and I think the defensive line just happens to fall at a good, really good time to discuss it because you're losing two veteran defensive linemen. One was a big surprise, I think, to me anyway. The other, Torrence Brown, the most recent one to call it quits on his career because of a knee injury he suffered last year. That wasn't a huge surprise. I think a lot of people weren't counting on much, if at all, from Torrence Brown this season. But Ryan Buchholz with a back injury, mainly because we didn't really know it was happening. You know what I mean? I think we saw and followed his career, and for me, you know, there have been various points where I wondered why we haven't seen him maybe take the next step or play more or do more dominant stuff because we thought he was capable of that. 2018 looked like a year where he might be able to do that, but with chronic back injuries, that's not anything to mess with over the long term in your life. Ross Tucker, who does the Keystone Kickoff Show later in the week, he dealt with back stuff, and I know it's something that he has to deal with every single day now. For Ryan Buchholz to maybe try and avoid that, you can't blame him. But all that said, where does that leave the defensive end rotation right now?
Well, I guess the question becomes whether or not you look at Shane Simmons and say, is he going to miss any time? Is he going to be a guy that has to start the season, but he has issues down the road? Is this a recurring issue? So those are the questions that I think are the biggest, conversation pieces, is that when you look at what Simmons has done in his career so far, I think most are expecting him to have a breakout year now. And really, if he's not healthy, that could really slow things down for him, which could put a dent into this defensive line rotation. Does Kevin Givens, does the emergence of P.J. Mustard for a tackle mean maybe Givens goes back out to end, considering Kevin Givens played a little bit there, obviously, last year? And, you know, Ryan Buchholz was a guy that was sort of seen like Givens, where you could interchange him and put him inside or outside. So there's a lot to figure out here. I still think it means the rise of Etur Gross-Matos is coming, and it's probably even more important that it actually is the case this fall now that Buchholz is gone. But, you know, the one thing I'll say is that we spent a lot of the offseason sort of revving up the defensive end group and how the outlook for them, for that group was, and I don't really remember talking about Buchholz a whole lot. We talked about Sharif Miller endlessly, of course, Shaka Tony, Etur Gross-Matos, Shane Simmons, a couple other guys, Daniel Joseph, who we talked about earlier. So, I mean, as long as Simmons does not have any long-term issues, and as long as one more huge injury doesn't pop up, I just have a hard time seeing this group not being the strength that we think it's going to be.
Yeah, so I think the strength of this group was twofold. One was, and I think first and foremost, was the depth and the types of options that they could throw at you. And so now that dynamic changes a little bit, where I think you've got all that upside, but instead of having a rotation where you can just throw body after body after body out there without a lot of drop-off, uh-huh, the rotation is going to shrink just a little bit. I think that Daniel Joseph is a guy who could see a little bit of a role. I'm curious, and I think that Jason Oway, the really super talented true freshman defensive end who's now listed at 247 pounds, one of the best pure athletes on the team, I do wonder if his four-game or, I think that – what's the strategy to play two games early – save two games for later. I wonder if his two games will be so good that he ends up getting his red shirt burned. I have to wonder if he's that good, if he makes a splash.
I'm thinking probably yes. I mean, I just think that it'll have to come a time where he'll be in a situation where he'll need to be able to show Penn State staffers and Penn State fans what, you know, what he's capable of. And you've heard so many good things about him in the offseason so far that it's hard for me to think that he's not going to shine like we think he's going to. So he'll have four games, Dustin, to be able to go out there and – show what he can do. And if it's not up to what we think it is, then he won't play. But at the end of the day, I just have a hard time thinking that. To me, I look at it as it's a matter of if or when he passes four games, not if. I just it's very difficult to see him not play. I mean, if you listen to the offensive guys, I mean, Matt Limegrover raved about him. Some of the other offensive players just couldn't say enough complimentary things about him. Sharif Miller had good things to say. I just have a hard time seeing him not being a freshman phenom this year.
He's, to compare him to, let's say, Shane Simmons, for example, I think for at their core, their skill sets are pretty much the same. But I think that Jason Oway is more ready from a body standpoint, and athletically, he's off the charts. So I'm curious. Let's see how it goes. I think another part of this dynamic, sticking with defensive ends for a moment, is Shaka Toney making this transition from situational quick step pass rusher to somebody who's now checking at 241 pounds, who can maybe be more than that, who can maybe give you a little bit more consistent down-to-down production and handle more snaps. I think he's going to have to now. If that were optional before, it might not be as optional now.
No, it certainly isn't. And again, with him, the question becomes, did he do enough in the offseason to make sure he keeps the weight on that, you know, he's going to have to play in the Big Ten? I mean, it's great to call him a pass rush specialist, and that's fine. He's very good at that. But with the departure of Buchholz and the potential injury as it relates to Shane Simmons, you're going to need another guy to step up and sort of be the guy, be the man in that rotation, in that role, and I think that it has to be him. So he needs to have the kind of breakout year that I think many thought he was going to have last year, this year.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State football, looking ahead to the 2018 season a little bit, talking defensive ends, defensive tackles, and what the prospects are for both positions. Wanted to give you a quick reminder, go PSURV.com. They are doing half-price RV rentals for the first weekend of the year. The Appalachian State game is a 3:30 p.m. kick, and you can check out an open house on Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. And from 9 a.m. to noon, you can come see what the lot is all about, see how close it is to Beaver Stadium. It's very close. There's a shuttle back and forth. The 409 Tailgate Club guys will be there with some barbecue. You can get some Labatt Blue beer, some tailgate wine as well. You can check out more details, gopsurv.com. Another part of the defensive end conversation, Greg, is really the question, how good can Sharif Miller be? Because, you know, now more and more it looks like being not only the more veteran guy in the room, but being that he's the most complete guy, I think. Can he be, I don't know about All-America good, but can he be a guy who can get the double-digit sacks maybe or really take that next step?
He has the opportunity to. There's what we saw with him during the spring, and I think really during last season too, is that he's a guy that has been taking, I don't want to say small steps forward, because I think that inaccurately, it's a little bit, it's somewhere between small and large. I mean, I don't want to, medium steps sounds goofy, but, you know, he's been progressing nicely each year, and he's done so while facing some bigger roles and some bigger opportunities. So you go back to last year's stats, I mean, he's top 10 on the team in tackles. He has 37, 11 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. I mean, to me, for him to have a successful year, he has to be, I would say, top 5 or 6 in tackles. He needs to be up there in the sack total. I mean, so he had 5 last year, to think he gets to 10 this year, I wouldn't rule it out. But if we were putting percentages on it, I would say it's less than 50% for sure. Maybe not way less, maybe 40-60 no yes ratio there when you talk about whether he can get to 10. But I don't know. I think he's finally put it all together. It's just a matter of whether that translates to the stats, especially if he's going to be facing the other team's top offensive lineman, which is very possible. Now, can Penn State move him around to avoid that? Certainly. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know when the last time a Penn State defensive lineman had 10 sacks, but I think he has the talent to do it. I'm just not sure that it all worked. Yeah, I would. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it would be. Yeah, correct. So, I mean, can he do it? Certainly. Will he do it? I would put the percentage probably not at this point.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's look inside a little bit. Where that defensive tackle rotation stands. James Franklin gave some pretty good positive vibes about it. And I like to think that at this stage, if they were behind where he wanted to be, you would have been able to either read between the lines or he would have come out right and said it. So I think that that's probably a good thing. That's one of the bigger question marks that the team had. And he seems to feel good about it. Let me start by looking at the projected starters, Robert Windsor, Kevin Givens. Is there a possibility at some point in 2018 where they're better and more productive than Parker Cawthron and Curtis Cawthron? Let's just look at that dynamic for starters.
Yeah, I would think so. I feel like Robert Windsor is a guy that has been sort of ignored throughout all of this, and it's because so much buzz about P.J. Mustipher, about Antonio Shelton, that we almost, I think, just forget that Windsor's the guy that's going to start at that spot. And maybe it's because he was a three-star recruit, kind of looked over in that recruiting class, kind of looked over a lot of ways from the outside of the program during his time on the roster, but they like how he's progressed. They like what he can do, and I think he's going to have a better year than most think. I mean, at the end of the day, when Penn State's defensive line is measured in 2018, it's going to be measured with how it does getting a pass rush against the best teams on the schedule. That's really what it comes down to at this point. You can do whatever you want against Pitt, against Kent State, against App State. You can do whatever you want against those teams, but when Penn State needed a stop and it needed a pass rush at Michigan State and at Ohio State, guess what it didn't have? A pass rush. Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. If this group's going to be defined as better than last year's group, it's going to have to be able to put together a pass rush and sustain it. And that's something we'll have to wait and see and figure out as we look forward towards this group moving forward. Just what they can do. Is Robert Windsor the guy? Are some of these guys capable of making the next step? I don't want to say that Tyrell Chavis and the Cawthron duo were bad, because they certainly weren't. But again, I think we're at the point now, much like the offensive line, where we have to evaluate these guys based off of what they do in the biggest games, because the whole body of work can be great, but if you can't get it done against the best opponents, what does that leave you with? I know 11 wins back-to-back seasons, I'm not tarnishing that. I'm not tarnishing the 2016 Big Ten title, none of that. I'm just saying that for this program to take the next step, these guys have to play at the same high level that they have against some of the lesser opponents on their schedule when it becomes time to play the Ohio States and Michigans and Wisconsin's of the world, because again, if everyone within the program and all the fans want a college football playoff appearance, they want a title, that's what's going to take.
Yeah, and I think that the defensive line is still making that transition into a big time, not only developed well, but talented at the onset. And I think that what Windsor and Givens bring to the table, they're just more dynamic athletes than Curtis Cawthron and Parker Cawthron, where they are certainly more highly regarded in the recruiting process. I think Windsor I think he's going to be a really good player for them. The question, I guess, just it runs with depth. And, you know, there's some true freshmen coming and making some moves. Antonio Shelton making a move there. I think that I just feel like they might not be worse off at tackle, Greg.
Yeah, I just certainly possible. I don't think there's any way you could say that it's guaranteed to not be the case.
So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. It's going to be one of the storylines to watch in the early part of the season. We will continue talking Penn State position groups with our season preview series. You can check it out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. For now, we're moving on, looking at season makers at wide receiver and tight end. Stick around.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.